2. When there is not much prayer and calling, faith cannot lie strong and violent, for prayer is even the exercise of faith. If you wear out of that, faith rusteth. There may be much quietness with little prayer, but there cannot be much and strong and lively faith, for where it getteth not continual employment it fags. And indeed prayer is a special point of holding God fast and keeping Him. Therefore join these, if you would thrive in any one of them. Your unbelieving complaints are not prayers and calling on His name, because they are not mixed with faith. As the apostle said of the word, so may it be said of prayer, your prayers are not profitable, are not heard, because not mixed with faith. Ye used to doubt, that ye may be fervent, to question your interest, that ye may stir up your spirits to prayer. But alas! What a simple gross mistake is that! Poor soul, though thou get more liberty, shall it be counted access to God? Though you have more grief, and your bitterness doth indite more eloquence, shall God be moved with it? Know ye not that you should ask without wavering, and lift up pure hands without wrath and doubting? And yet both are there. Fourthly, the duty we are called to in such a time, when God is angry, is to lay hold on Him. We would speak a word more of it. We ought to hold a departing Lord, by wrestling with Him in supplication, not to let Him depart till He bless, Hosea 12:3-4. The application of Jacob's victory over the angel is thus, turn ye to the Lord, and wait on Him, and see. How had Jacob power over the angel? By supplication and weeping, so that prayer is a victory over God, even the Lord God of hosts. We ought, as it were, to strive against outward dispensation, when it saith, He is gone, when our condition saith, He is gone, or going, we ought to wrestle with it. No submission to such a departing, I mean, no submission that sitteth down with it, and is not careful, how it be. Now this time calleth you to such an exercise. The Lord seemeth to be angry with us. There is a strong cloud over the land, and like to pour down upon us the Lord is drawing a sword again, and beginning now to lay on. Many threatenings would not put us to supplication. Now, what will the laying on of the rod do? If the former days be returning wherein ye saw much sorrow, is it not then high time for the Lord's remembrancers, and for the Lord's children to wrestle with God? As Esau was coming on Jacob, so hath God armed men, and such desperate men, as He hath made a rod to us before. If we be twice beaten with it, it is very just, for, before we did not seek into Him who smote us. You would know this, that the Lord is but seeking employment, and if you would deal with Him, ye may make advantage of the present and future calamities. And look to this laying hold on Him, this is the chief thing ye should now heed. It is God Himself that should be your principal object. Praying should be a laying hold on God, it should meet with Himself. For the most part in the time of prosperity, we cannot meet with God singly, we have so much to do with creatures, we keep trysts so punctually with them, so that we cannot keep with God. We have so many things in our affections and thoughts, that God cannot get place, He cannot get us at leisure for the throng of our business, we lose God by catching at shadows. Well then, we are called in such a time of difficulty to come into God Himself, to draw by the veil of ordinances, that we may have communion with God Himself. And this is right praying, when the soul getteth such immediate access to God, as it were, to handle Him, and see Him, and taste Him, to exercise its senses on Him. Ordinances have been of a long time a covering of His face, and He useth not now to unveil Himself in the sanctuary, and let us see His glory. God is departed from preaching and praying, and the solemn meeting, so that we meet not with God. We lay hold on a shadow of an outward ordinance, but not on God Himself. Therefore, Christians, make advantage of this time. You may be brought to want ordinances, then lay hold on Himself, who is the substance and marrow of them. You may be denuded of outward comforts and accommodation here, then lay hold on Himself in much prayer. If affliction would blow away the cloud on His face, or would scatter our idols from us, and make us single alone with God, as Jacob was, it were well sent. 2. Your exercise should be to take hold on God by faith. 1. You would make peace with God, be much in direct acts of apprehending God Himself in Jesus Christ. And this is according, as ye take up yourselves with your own misery and necessity. Do but travel continually between your own misery and something answerable in God. The first thing we would have you do, now when God frowns upon us, is to find out your own lost condition, and how great strangers you have been to Him, even when ye have approached in many ordinances, and find a necessity of making peace with God and atonement. Now from this day hold on Christ, as the hope set before you. Look upon that in Him which will answer all your necessities, and be suitable to them. It is not matters of outward lot that should go nearest your heart. Let the world go, where it will, that which concerneth you most in such a time, is the securing of your soul, for, if you lose it, what gain you? What keep you? Your houses, and lands, and lives may be in hazard, nay, but one thing is more worth than all these, and in more hazard. Begin at spiritual things, and ask how matters stand between God and thee. 2. Not only would ye be much in immediate application unto Jesus Christ, but ye would so take hold of Him, as ye may be sure ye have Him. Make peace, and know, that ye have made it, and then shall ye be kept in perfect peace. You would never rest, until you can on solid grounds answer the question. And this duty is called for from you at such a time, for the just shall live by faith, in a troublesome time, Habakkuk 2:4. And as ye ought to keep and hold fast confidence and not cast it away in such a time, so should ye all seek after it. Do not only rest in this, I know not but I may belong to Christ, I dare not say against it. Oh no, Christians, you should have positive clear grounds of assurance I am His, and He is mine, I know, that my Redeemer liveth, God is my portion. And if ye conclude this solidly, I defy all the world to shake and trouble your peace. This is perfect peace, 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 double peace. How can ye choose but be shaken at every blast of temptation, when you are not thus solidly grounded, when you hold not at your anchor? And, 3. Having thus laid hold on Christ as your own, lay hold on all in Him as yours, and for your use. Whatever difficulty the present time or your own condition afford, search, but as much in God, as may counterbalance it. Answer all objections, from His mercy, goodness, power, wisdom, and changeableness, and this shall be more nor the trouble. God Himself laid hold upon, and made ours, is more nor removing a temporal calamity. It is an eternal weight, to weigh down all crosses and disappointments. For what can present things be? Is there not in the favor of His countenance that which may drown them in oblivion? Are you like to sink here? Is not God a sure anchor to hold by? And if ye do not this, your trouble is nothing in respect of the danger of your soul. Secure and loose lying out of God, not putting this matter to a full point, is worse nor all your outward fading. Therefore, we exhort you in the Lord's name, to fly into this name of the Lord, as a strong tower to run to and be safe. When the Lord seemeth now to be angry with us, run not away from Him, though he should yet clothe himself with vengeance as a garment. But, first, O ye poor people, who have never asked this question, whether have I any interest in Jesus? Ask it now, and resolve it in time. If trouble come on, if scattering and desolation come on, and our land fade as a leaf, certainly the Lord's anger will drive you away. What will ye do in the time of his indignation? All of you, put this to the trial, how matters stand between God and you. And, secondly, if ye find all wrong, do not sink in discouragement, all may be amended, while it is seen wrong in time. Nay, God taketh away outward accommodation, to make you more serious in this. And it is the very voice of rods, every one fly into your hold, every one make peace with me. You may take hold, and do it faithfully. Thirdly, you who have fled to Jesus take more hold of him, you are called also to renew your faith, and begin again. Make peace with God, let your confidence be kept fast, and thus shall ye be immovable, because he changeth not. God will not go from you, if ye believe hold him by faith. Christ could not do great things in Galilee because of their unbelief, and so he departed from them. As unbelief maketh an evil heart to depart from the God of all life and consolation, so doth it make God depart from us. But faith casteth a knot upon him to speak with reverence, it fasteneth him by his own word and promise, and he cannot go by it. It is a violent hand laid on God. I will not let thee go till thou bless me. Fourthly, faith in prayer, or holding of God, by believing in him, and much employing him needeth much stirring up unto, and awaking, that stirreth up himself to take hold on thee. Security is the moth of both these, and eateth out the life of faith and supplication. It maketh prayer so cold rife that it cannot prevail, and faith so weak that it cannot use violence. 1. Security apprehendeth no evil, no need. A secure condition is a dream that one is eating, and yet his soul is empty. Look how the people of Laish were quiet and secure, apprehending no evil. Destruction cometh then on, as an armed man. Always it is much necessity that administers fuel to a man's faith and supplication. David says, Psalm 37, I said in my prosperity, I shall not be moved. Nay, but many say in adversity, and cry peace, peace, where no peace is. Security pledeth innocency, and then believeth immunity. I am innocent, therefore shall his anger turn away, Jeremiah 2:31. Security applieth not sin, and so refuseth the curse of sin and wages of it. And thus is a man in his own eyes a lord, and then he will come no more to God, Jeremiah 2:31. It is almost impossible to await men, by general judgments, to apprehend personal danger. And men never stir out of their nest till it be on fire. We can behold, or hear of our neighbors, spoiling and violence done to them, but till the voice of a cry be heard in our own streets and fields, nobody will take the judgment to themselves. It is well said, that which is spoken to all is spoken to none, so what is done to all in general, is done to none. The voice of the general rod speaketh not particularly, and maketh not men apprehensive of sad things, and thus men are not pressed unto prayer, are not put out of themselves. It is only necessity that saps the roots of it, and makes it green. 2. Security is lazy and not active, putteth not forth its hand to work, and so doth a beggar, for only the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Laying hold on God is a duty that requireth much spirit in it. Men do not grip things well in their slumbering. There is no duty that needeth so spiritual and lively principles. If a man do not put on such a piece of resolution and edge upon him, he cannot come to the wrestling of prayer and violence of faith. Although the exercise and acting of grace dependeth more upon the Spirit of God's present influence than upon the soul of man, yet this is the way the Lord communicateth his influence, by stirring up and exciting the creature to its duty, as if it could do it alone. Grace is one thing, and the stirring up of it is another thing. For, when we lie by and sleep over our time, and go not about the matter so seriously, as it were life and death, it is but a weak hold we can take of God. According to the measure of a man's apprehending necessity, and according to the measure of his seriousness in these things, so will the hand of faith grip, and lay hold with more or less violence. As a man drowning will be put from sleeping, and when one is in extreme hazard all his strength will unite together in one to do that which at any ordinary time it could not do, so ought it to be here. A Christian assaulted with many temptations should unite his strength, and try the utmost. Oh, but your whole spirits would run together, to the saving of yourselves, if you were very apprehensive of necessity. The exercise of faith is a dead grip, that cannot part with what it grippeth. Therefore, 1. We must say to you, it is not so easy a thing, as you believe, to lay hold on God, there must be stirring up to it. And when the Lord speaketh of our stirring ourselves, certainly he meaneth this likewise, that he must stir us, ere we stir ourselves. 2. Above all, be afraid of a secure condition. It is the enemy of communion with God and spiritual life. Therefore, look about you, and apprehend more your necessity, and then give no rest and quietness to yourself, till you have employed and engaged him. Be as men flying to lay hold on the refuge set before you. 3. It must be a time of little access to God, and little faith, when we are all secure, and nobody goeth about religion as their work and business. We allow ourselves in it, therefore, we do exhort yon, first, to purpose this, as your end to aim at, and purpose by God's grace to take more hold of God. There is little minding of duty, and that maketh little doing of it. Once engage your hearts to a love and desire of more of this, come to a point of resolution, I must know him more, and trust more in him, be more acquainted with him. And, secondly, put yourselves in the way of duty. It is God that only can stir you up, or apply your hearts to the using of violence to God, but you would be found in the outward means much, and in these ways God will meet with you, if you wait on him in them. For thou hast hid thy face from us. Here is the greatest plague, a spiritual plague. The last verse was but the beginning of sorrows, we all do fade, and see. But lo, here the accomplishment of misery, God hiding his face, and consuming them in the hand of their sins. First, the Lord's hiding of his face, and giving up a people to melt away in their sins, punishing with judicial blindness and security, is the worst judgment, it filleth the cup full. This complaint goeth on still worse, and certainly it is worse nor their fading, as a leaf and exile out of their land. It is not without reason, that great troubles and afflictions are so expressed, thou didst hide thy face. As David said, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled, importing as much, as it is not trouble that doth trouble, but God's hiding of his face that maketh trouble. It is in so far trouble, as it is a sign of his displeasure, and as the frowns of his countenance are upon it. Therefore, the saints, aggravating their affliction, say, thou hidest thy face. You know the face is the place wherein either kindness or unkindness appeareth. The Lord's countenance, on face, is a refreshful sweet manifestation of himself to a soul. It is the Lord using familiarity with a spirit, and this made David more glad than corn and wine. Now, the hiding of the face, the withdrawing of his countenance, is, when the Lord in his dispensation and dealing doth withhold the manifestation of himself, either in life or consolation, when he covereth himself with clouds round about, that neither can a soul see into the backside of it into his own warm heart, nor can the sunbeams shine through to quicken and refresh the soul. The Lord draweth over his face a veil of a crossing dispensation, or such like. There is a desertion of the soul in the point of life and spiritual action, and there is a desertion in regard of consolation. The varieties of the Lord's desertions run upon these two. As a Christian's life is action or consolation, and the Lord's influence is either quickening or comforting, so his withdrawing is either a prejudice to the one or the other. Sometimes he goeth mourning all the day, nay, but he is sick of love. Sometimes he is a bottle dried in the smoke, and his moisture dried up. The Christian's consolation may be subtracted, and his life abide, but he cannot have spiritual consolation, if he be not lively. This life is more substantial, comfort is more refreshful, life is more solid, comfort sweet, that is true growing solid meat, this but sauce to eat it with. The hiding here meant is certainly a spiritual punishment. The Lord denying unto this people grace to understand the voice of the rod, he appearing as a party against them, leaving them to their own carnal and lazy temper, and thus they lay still under God's displeasure. Now, there is nothing like this. 1. Because it is a spiritual punishment, and estates are not to be valued and laid in the balance with the soul. Albeit men are become so brutish as to abase their souls, and prostitute them to anything, yet all a man hath is not considerable to it. 2. It is a more excellent thing that is removed by it, in his favor is life, all felicity and happiness is in God's countenance. If a man have not this, what hath he else? Losses are according, as the thing is. Nay, but here is more, my Lord is taken from me, my God hath forgotten me. And indeed, if man's true happiness be in communion with God, certainly, any interruption coming in must be said, and make a man more miserable than the world knoweth. There is a greater emphasis in that word, thou hast hid thy face, than if he had said, all the world hideth their face and maketh the scorn of us. Therefore, first, know what is the worst thing of the times. Many of you think sword and pestilence, and the burdens of the time, the worst things, and if you were now to complain, the saddest complaint would be, affliction is laid on our loins. But know this, if your cities were desolate, if your land were made a wilderness, and we captives in another land, there is yet a worse thing than all these, and think you not this strange? Nay, I say, there is something worse already in us, that we know not of, and it is this make the hearts of this people hard. A spirit of slumber and deadness from the Lord upon the land, there are multitudes he will never show his face unto, it is still veiled from them, and they know him not. Ye that think all were well, if ye had peace and prosperity, and know no hiding of God's countenance no anger, but when he stricketh. Certainly you know not what his countenance is by all these things men neither know love nor hatred. 2. Whatever calamity come upon you outwardly, deprecate most spiritual plagues and God's deserting. If you have God's countenance, it may make you glad in much sadness. You would be most careful, lest any partition wall came in, lest his countenance change on you, if you grieve his spirit and break his heart. Seek to have his face to shine, and this shall be a sun with healing under his wings. Oh, but Christ's countenance is comely, when it is seen without clouds. But often it is overclouded with much provocation. Secondly, the Lord's hiding of his face hath influence on the temper of spirits and disposition in duties. The truth is in general, in him we live, and move, and have our being, and more especially, in many things that are spiritual, we are of ourselves able to do nothing. the creature's holiness, and especially our life, is but as the rays that the Sun of Righteousness sendeth forth round about him, and if anything come between it, it vanisheth. As the marigold that openeth its leaves when the sun riseth, and closeth when it goeth down again, so exactly doth our spiritual constitution follow the motions of his countenance, and depend wholly on them. Thou hidest thy face, and they are troubled, Psalm 37. The Lord needeth no more but discountenance us, and we are gone. Always, 1. Be more dependent creatures. We used to act, as from habits within, without any subordination to the Lord's grace without us, but we find that our sufficiency is not of ourself. How often doth your spiritual condition change on you in an hour? You cannot command one thought of God, or act from any habit of grace, even then, when you can bring forth other gifts in exercise. Ye find that grace findeth more difficulties, more interruptions, therefore learn to attend the changes and motions of his countenance. 2. When you find your heart dead, and you concluded under an impossibility of taking hold of God in a lively manner, then, I pray you, look unto the Lord's suspending of his influence, and let your whole endeavors be at the throne of grace to help it. It will not be your own provoking of yourself to your duty, but you must put yourself upon God, that he may cause his face to shine. 3. Though the Lord's hiding his face be often a cause of our deadness, and his desertion maketh all to wither, yet we have often a culpable hand in it, and he hides his face being provoked so to do. One thing we may mention, grieving of the Holy Ghost whereby we are sealed, quenching the motions of the Spirit, maketh the Spirit cover his face with a veil and hide it. There is here ordinarily a reciprocal or mutual influence. Our grieving him makes him withdraw his countenance, and his withdrawing his countenance maketh us to wither and grow barren. 4. The most sure and infallible token of the Lord's hiding his face is security, and a spirit of deadness and laziness, when folk go about duties dreaming, and do all, as it were, through their sleep. Therefore we may conclude sad things on this land, that the Lord hideth his face from us. And therefore arise, and do not settle and quiet yourself in such a condition. The Lord is angry, needeth any more be said? No more needeth to kind children, but the rod must follow this to make anger sensible.